see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue.
Your planet needs you. Unite to combat climate change. That's the theme for this year's World Environment Day that was marked on Friday across the globe. The theme's aim is to give a human face to environmental issues and empower people to become active agents of sustainable and equitable development. The UN says this theme also reflects the urgency for the world's nations to agree on a new deal at the crucial climate change conference in Copenhagen later this year. Walter Grazer is the former director of the Environmental Justice Programme for the US Catholic Conference of Bishops. He's also the co-author of two books that look at Catholic theology and the environment and how Catholics can embrace environmental justice. He is currently working as a consultant for the National Religious Partnership for the Environment, an interfaith and ecumenical grouping. I began by asking Grazer how timely and apt was the theme focusing on climate change, chosen for this year's World Environment Day.
This is a very apt time for this theme. In the United States, the faith community, and this means the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the National Council of Churches that represents all of the mainline Protestant, Orthodox, and historic black churches, the evangelical community and the Jewish community are united through the National Religious Partnership for the Environment to address the issue specifically of climate change and poverty. We want to put a human face on this issue, and we want people to know, both believers and unbelievers, that as we develop policy to deal with climate change, don't forget the least among us. This problem is one where some of us do the sinning while others are going to do the penance. And we want to make sure that that doesn't happen, so that in developing countries, the poorest of the poor, we provide some serious relief because they are facing this problem now, not later.
And how urgent, in your view, is the need for the nations of the world to sign up to a new deal on climate change?
I think, just as the bishops say in their statement on global climate change, we need to exercise the virtue of prudence. That's the ancient political virtue as well as personal virtue. And we may not know everything about climate change, but I think we know enough that we need to act sooner rather than later. And so I think it's time for the nations of the world to continue to address this, but to take more significant steps. And hopefully the work in Copenhagen will provide that kind of rally point to say, let's act now, let's put our deal together and move forward.
But how optimistic are you that they can agree on a deal? Because every country's got its own agendas. There's economic interests that work against this.
No question that this is not going to be an easy road to put this together. But the climate is not going to take a break here. We pumped enough gas out there, greenhouse gases, that it's going to continue to heat up. So we're going to have to do something to address that question. It's not like something we can just say, well, let's just keep, we would say, kick the can down the road. We're going to have to do something now to put that together. So this will not be easy. There is a great temptation, what's called to be a free rider, to let others do it and not step up to the plate. But it's going to have to occur at some point. So why not now?
Do you find that this concern for the environment cuts across all religious and faith boundaries?
I do. I like to tease in a way this is something that we've not fought over for centuries. And it's the classic common good issue within Catholic social teaching. This is something that affects the entire planet, if you will. It affects other creatures, and it certainly affects the entire human family. As I've suggested, some are paying a greater price for this kind of concern, but it is the classic common good, and so this is a real call for solidarity for people to come together and kind of march forward together as a human family.
How does your work seek to promote more cooperation between these different faith groups to enact concrete moves on the ground, shall we say?
Well, let me give you one example. In April, in the United States, April 22nd is Earth Day. The day before, the Coalition for Catholics and Climate Change issued a document called Who's Under Your Carbon Footprint? And they launched the St. Francis Pledge Initiative, and to attempt to ask Catholics to pledge to do something practical, pray, They educate themselves, take some lifestyle changes. I mean, you can do simple things like change the lights in your house to be more appropriate and so forth, take the bus instead of the car, and to act in terms of advocating for moving on climate change, but particularly as it affects the poor. The icon of St. Francis is at the heart of this. You know, this is a saint who gave enormous example to the rest of us of how to love the poor, but also how to love other creatures. So it's the perfect icon. This is an effort to engage Catholics at a very individual level. You can just do it as an individual, or you could do it as a parish. And this type of effort is going on in all of these communities. The Jewish community is hopefully in the next few months going to launch a similar kind of campaign. The mainline Protestants already have a focus on this. And evangelicals themselves, particularly the younger evangelicals, are becoming more engaged. Lots of models of what's going on at parish levels. Institutions, Catholic Health Association, which provides care to one out of six Americans needing hospitalization or medical care every year, is beginning to do things with medical waste, even changing diets for patients away from more meat. So there are a lot of practical examples, but it's a big challenge. These are huge institutions, big communities. We have a lot of work ahead of us.
You talk there about models, and of course the Vatican, as you well know, has in some ways acted as a trailblazer on green policies. It's installed solar energy panels on the huge Paul VI audience hall, and there have been other solar energy projects within the Vatican City State. What kind of a feedback has this had sort of on the ground among the faithful? Has this been sort of commented on, and is it being used as a, shall we say, an inducement to follow that lead?
Well, I think these are always wonderful examples to people. I mean, we all realize they're examples. You know, in other words, that this is, we're going to have to, some kind of way, all of us try to witness to what we are doing, because that's the most powerful thing that we can do, is to say, I'm not just going to talk about it, I'm going to try to do something about it. So I do think it provides a model in a way. You don't have to do everything, not everyone can afford everything, and so forth, but you can do something, and therefore when the Church talks about this, and Pope Benedict has been fabulous in terms of both the question of the environment and climate change, he's really called attention to this, but now trying to add some weight by saying, let's do some solar paneling, let's try to offset some of our carbon footprint. And it, so that's a powerful model to say. I mean, it's not just talk, it's walking the talk.
What a wonderful world.
And do you know a lot of examples among, in the U.S., among, you know, religious orders, as you say, dioceses, Catholic organizations that are embracing green policies? I did interview a number of religious orders that, for instance, have installed wind turbines.
Yes, I think particularly in the early days, women religious have been in the leadership of this. And we estimated that the Church, Catholic Church in the United States, not counting religious orders, had about 80,000 buildings. And so that could represent a powerful impact if you could either retrofit or as you build new buildings. But certainly religious orders have done a lot of greening, and it sets a great model for what you can do if you put your mind to it. And I think that that's one of the more powerful examples. And we actually see a lot of that. Parishes have begun to do that type of greening in some places, trying to think through how they design their building. I think that appeals to people, because that's really where they feel they can do something.
And what kind of importance do the Catholic laity attached to environmental issues, in your view? I mean, for instance, how high up is it on their list of hot-button issues?
Yes. I mean, this is a recent polling done by Zogby in April for the release of this Who's Under Your Carbon Footprint, I think showed a high degree of knowledge and concern about the environment by Catholics. I think that they mirror reasonably well the general public, American public, for concern. To be realistic, it's going to go up and down. Right now, the economy is in terrible shape, and people are worried about, am I going to keep my job until, you know, 5 o'clock this afternoon? So it's going to fluctuate. But I think we have to remember, this is a long-term issue. This isn't something that, you know, will be dealt with next week. So the concern we have here, and I think the Church is well-placed, is to remind people about, we need to do this for the sake of future generations. We're a pro-life church. And so we can kind of build in the education and the models for the development of the long term. It's not just something I think we have to worry about, you know, the polling data about today. It's really about how we build this into our faith life over time.
I mean, when it comes to the government, I mean, the U.S. has traditionally been one of the most profligate nations when it comes to energy consumption, you know, big cars, a lot of driving, air conditioning going full blast, often excessively so. Do you see now that things are beginning to change?
Well, I certainly think at the government level, there's no question. I think the new administration is quite open. This is one of the high priorities, climate, energy, and health care for President Obama and new administration. I think you have some key members of Congress, so kind of things are lining up the best they've ever been to try to move forward on this. But this is a constant education process, and I think the church is well placed to say to people, we're one of the few groups who can say, you know, let's do some sacrifice here.
Talking of sacrifices, can I ask you, as an individual, how have you modified your own lifestyle to try and be greener?
In terms of trying to be greener, I realize we were fortunate. We have tried to, like, replace all of our windows, trying to replace as many of the lights as we can, new siding, new insulation, new roofing helps a lot, new heating system, which is much more environmentally sound. I try as much as possible to both walk and use the metro. I'm fortunate I live within a mile of the subway and use that as religiously as I can.
And now, I know you are the co-author of two works that explore the links between being Catholic and the environment, environmental justice. Can you perhaps explain in just a couple of sentences the links between us and why Catholics should be jumping on board the environmental bandwagon?
Yeah. Well, I look at it not so much as jumping on the bandwagon as much as this is a key element of our faith. This is about our response to God, our Creator, right from Genesis. That, you know, I think what's different is we are growing more conscious of how we need to relate to our environment. We're now aware of what we do to our environment in a way that we weren't like 50, 60 years ago. So the question the bishops raise in their statement is, you know, what's our response in terms of stewardship? So I think this theme fits well within that in terms of how am I going to respond to God in this situation now that I am conscious of it? And then it raises the justice question. If we're going to solve this, it has to be done by all of us in terms of around the world. So the question is, can we construct just solutions? Because we can also construct unjust solutions where some of us will still be better off even while addressing the environment.
I was speaking to Walter Grazer, Catholic environmentalist author and former director of the Environmental Justice Program for the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops.
I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful